Hey, Brandon Watson here with Jared Brown, Program Manager on Windows Phone Search. Obviously, we just had the big announcement on the 24th of all the new stuff, all the new goodies coming. Wanted to have a few conversations with the guys responsible for designing the product and really get into the craftsmanship and get a little more geeky and technical about some of the things that are coming for this audience, Channel 9 audience. All these guys are tech enthusiasts and developers. They really want to know what's going on. So let's talk about what you're building on the phone, and we'll ask some more questions. But just big question. What inspired the feature set and all the new stuff that's coming?
Good question. We have a lot coming, so it's interesting to ask one thing that inspired. I think, you know, we had one pillar that was generally our focus and our sort of guideline throughout this release, and that was fast, relevant suggestions. We wanted to get users answers, not just sort of lists of results, but real answers to their questions really quickly. And that meant things like features that enabled getting to search very quickly, and that also meant optimizations and things we could do to speed up getting those results.
So I can think of two that fit into that category right now. It's the search from above the lock and then local scout. Let's start with above the lock and then we'll go into local scout.
Sure. So search above lock, really we had this goal for pocket to suggestions in 7 seconds or less. And search above lock is one of the things that helps. Much like camera, now you can press the hardware search button without having to previously unlock your phone and then go to the search experience.
Yep.
And basically we take you right to the Bing image of the day and you can speak or type your search query just like that.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And now local scout.
Yeah, so local scout, we had several sort of design principles that led to Local Scout. On the one hand, again, that pillar of pocket to suggestions in 7 seconds. But we also, you know, we're a mobile device, and people don't want to be typing a lot on a mobile device. So we wanted to be able to surface suggestions that we could infer were useful to you without you having to type something first. So what that meant is doing things like finding places that are useful nearby and events and activities that are useful nearby.
Sure.
There's also the case, though, that you're not necessarily planning what to do near where you are now, but where you're going to be. So we
wanted that you got later tonight.
Yeah, something like that.
Sure.
So we wanted Local Scout to be all about what's happening nearby a geography, an area.
Okay.
But you can, without having to type, you can swipe or speak a location, and Local Scout will filter all those events and activities and places for that location.
So from an information architecture standpoint, not an easy job, I imagine.
Mm-mm. Bing has a ton of data. Bing has, you know, vast arrays of information, and we can filter on all sorts of different things. One of the big questions we wanted to answer for ourselves was, how do we surface not just information quickly, but the right information quickly? You know, we're a mobile device, so things like screen size and bandwidth and interaction model, all those things have to be taken into account. And we wanted to basically get users not just the vast amount of data that they could then have to sift through to get to something, but really get that rich, useful information front and center. So examples include, you know, in the Local Scout, having rich images for each of the places and items that have that data in the Local Scout itself. So you get a preview, almost like a live tile, before you've dived into the item card for that place or event. In our item cards, we surface the specifications for a product or the reviews for a restaurant, that kind of thing.
Or apps.
And now apps, right, exactly. So we try to get you the things that you need to make a decision and to then complete the action that you set out to do right there in the result.
Right. So being the guy that's always talking, you know, publicly, I always, the way I phrase it is linear task completion, right? You start with a search and you're trying to do something, and now not only do you get through the search quicker, but where an app can help for all the developers out there, connecting apps to solving a problem versus, oh, I forgot, yeah, I have IMDb that could go help me with my movie times or, you know, information about the movie or
exactly.
You know, Best Buy or any number of apps that exist in the marketplace that could handle the search query. It's actually a way to connect customers with solutions, which is actually really cool.
Yep.
So let's talk about, I mean, there's a lot of hard stuff that went into what you guys have done, and there's one feature we haven't talked about yet. Hopefully that's how you answer this question, but we'll see. Most difficult feature. What was the most difficult piece that you guys had to build?
Well, another goal that we had was really trying to connect the device to the physical world.
Yep.
You know, phones are getting more and more complex, and we feel like that's a bridge between the virtual, the digital, and the physical. And so we built a feature called Bing Vision, which takes advantage of all sorts of Bing capabilities like barcode scanning and image scanning and QR scanning, and really allowing you to search on things that are present in the physical world and have either information associated with them, or we can determine what their digital equivalent is and then surface that information right for you.
It's very cool. That's very cool. Now, I can only imagine the scope of technological innovations that went into everything, especially mm-hmm. cross-platform when you guys were cross-collaboration when you're working with the Bing team. Mm-hmm. What are some of the major technology innovations that you can think of that have gone into this iteration? And don't be afraid to dive into the weeds as far as the technology goes.
Okay, well, on the Bing Vision side, everything from, you know, how to make the best use of the camera pipeline and really make sure our frame rates are high so we're capturing as you're moving and tracking, you know, as you move with Bing Vision, it's sort of live video. So the barcode underneath the screen follows, our rectangle that identifies it follows. And as those things change, the results update. So if you're sort of scanning a movie poster, Bing can get better and better as you scan more of it to determine which movie you're probably looking at, that kind of thing. Same with products, same with books and DVDs and basically anything in the physical world. So that took a lot of work just internally with the camera and making sure our drivers were fast and our pipeline was efficient and that kind of thing. Then we have, you know, how do we send that to Bing and get results back very quickly? We don't want to be waiting for these Bing round trips.
That's right.
So, you know, making sure that things are happening asynchronously, making sure that things are happening with the most efficient data packages we can form. That was important. And then you mentioned the linear task completion. Well, when you get a result, making sure that the results that come from these sort of fuzzier searches are the same quality and the same content as what you would get if you manually had typed in the product name or the, you know, whatever
so
it may
be.
So
if I scan a book, the book title is still the, you know, if I'm scanning a book, because it's kind of a, you know, weird thing, okay, you recognize that it's a book, versus I typed in the title of the book on a PC or on a mobile phone as well. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Wow. And, you know, then connecting you to apps that can help you that book right from your phone or purchase it and send it as a gift or it is, right in the search result.
Yeah, which is really cool. I mean, you know, obviously in the demos that they showed during the event, you know, the ability then to scan a book cover and then, you know, within seconds, have it in Kindle on your phone. It's actually really cool to have that connection. And it's like,
we think it's an awesome
ready
scenario.
To go. Yeah, no, it's really, really cool. So, obviously, there's a lot of developers out there. You know, it's, this audience is mostly tech enthusiasts and developers. One of the things I like to ask folks is, okay, so there's guys sitting at home, one-man, two-man shops. Maybe they've got a lot of training in computer science. Maybe they don't. They're just learning as they go. If you could take some of the principles, some of what you guys learned during your design process and kind of share that outward and say, here's things you want to think about. You know, we talked to Andrew a little bit earlier and he talked about think about the experience and make sure you test. What would you want to share outward?
Okay, well, there are a few lessons that we learned while building search on Windows Phone Mango that I think apply to anybody building a mobile app. The first is, you know, I mentioned that Bing has this vast amount of data and we had a lot to choose from. I think the inclination with software has typically been add as many features as you can, show as much information as you can. And, you know, on a desktop PC where you have a lot of real estate and a lot of bandwidth, that can make sense. But on a phone, you really need to hone the experience. So I would encourage developers to really look at what makes your app different and unique and really sort of piece that out and sort of set those as principles. And anything that's not within those core principles, sort of discard and put aside. They may be nice features or bells and whistles, but they're really just going to clutter your experience and make it that much harder to actually do what the customer wants to get done on the phone.
You know, it's funny, there's a guy on the design team, his name is Brian Agnetta, and his title, or I don't know if it's his official title, but his title is Fierce Reducer.
Yeah.
That's his job, right, as part of the design, because he's put so much energy into the phone. He's always talking about reduce.
Yep.
Yeah.
We actually had to do that, you know, in terms of picking the right data and figuring out how to display that data in Bing search results. So I completely agree. I also think, you know, being cognizant of the fact that you are on a mobile device, and obviously Windows Phone Mango has great UI for touch and all the controls are tuned for that, but you know, thinking about the data that's going over the wire and doing things asynchronously and keeping things scoped so that you have one page on your in your navigation model being very useful. That actually changes a little bit now that we have deep links, right? And search extras is an example of that. You can now, from a search result, deep link to an item in your app. So thinking about, you know, how does the user get from that to other experiences without going home and ending up in some loop, you know, having a search link or that kind
of
thing. So there, you know, there's some small, easy things you can do. It's all at least related to search in our guidance that's on MSDN. And those principles are there to make, hopefully, developers' lives easier. And in general, we've seen building a Search Extras app takes anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 days on top of an existing app. It's not much work.
Very cool. Well, that's it for us. You know, covered a lot of ground. I'm Brandon Watson, Jared Brown, Program Manager with Windows Phone Search. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll have more of these videos to come.
Excellent.
You have a lot more stuff we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right on.